Good afternoon. It is 1:30 p.m. on Monday, May 19th, 2025. I call this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer and Commissioner Jill Kringstad are here with me, so we not only have a quorum, all three of us are in attendance. And the reason it's a special meeting is only because it was previously scheduled for Wednesday, and we needed to adjust that. But with that, will you please stand and join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And regarding opening comments, not really PSC related, but just so excited to have the parts of North Dakota that were in various stages of drought receiving precipitation this last, 5 days or 6 days, whatever it is now. Probably enough for a little while for most people, but man, what a turnaround it's going to be. And if you ever look at the U.S. Drought Monitor, it's kind of a cool map. It comes out on Thursdays or Fridays, I think late Thursday, but it's through the previous Tuesday. So that's the cutoff time. So the one that came out last week was only good through Tuesday before any of this started. And I'm just anxious to see what a dramatic change it is going to be, because a good portion of North Dakota was in some stages of drought, and a lot of the state was in starting to be pretty severe stages of drought last week. So anxious for Thursday night to roll around and see the new one after, I think, in most, at least many areas of the state, anywhere from 2 to 6 inches of rain here in less than a week. So excited about that. Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. Yes, I do have some opening comments. Annually around this time, our pipeline safety program goes through an audit, and it was completed last week. We had a new evaluator come to North Dakota. Usually the evaluator is here for 3 consecutive years. And so this year we had a new one. We were looking forward to that, to see if there was something different or we could do with our program, or any positive feedback or critique. And he was very impressed with our pipeline safety program. It continued to do very well. No deficiencies were found. So that is definitely a kudos to our staff, Caleb, the director, and then our support staff, Lincoln and Brandon, who have done exceptional work in this area. So this is one program that I'm proud to have in my portfolio and be a part of. And I look forward to this summer going out with them some more on some pipeline safety. So when we get our formal letter on our audit, most likely we'll be doing a press release and really acknowledging our pipeline safety program. So to Conrad, the manager, Caleb, Lincoln, and Brandon, thank you for your dedicated work in this area.
That's wonderful news. I was not aware of that, that had results in. So it's great news. Commissioner Kringstad?
No big comments.
Okay, there's nothing on the consent calendar, so
Minutes.
I move. Yeah, that's not.
Oh, a consent, I'm sorry.
So I move the approval of the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Now I'm wondering if technically that is R in the consent calendar. So I guess I'm not 100% sure of that. I always moved it as two different things, but I'll have to do some parliamentary research on that. I move the commission delegate authority to the director of the Reclamation Division to forward the nomination submitted by the Falkirk Mining Company to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement for consideration for the 2025 Excellence in Surface Coal Mining Reclamation Awards.
Second.
So OSM, the Office of Surface Mining, has a national reclamation award. So this is different than the reclamation award that we give annually, but a national award for 2025 and is soliciting nominations. This nomination is for 730 acres of land donated by Falkirk to the North Dakota Department of Transportation called the Coal Lake Wildlife Management Area. The project featured many creative techniques that are transferable across the mining industry. Notably, Falkirk preserved significant natural and cultural resources by foregoing coal extraction in some sensitive areas, including the Pulver Mound site, which is a Native American burial ground, and the surrounding mature woodlands. And these decisions exceeded the requirements of SMACRA, which is the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act of 1977, and they prioritized the long-term ecological and cultural benefits over coal recovery, which is their job. Mining of this area started in 1991, and the final bond release occurred in 2022. The cost of the project was around $5.6 million. The area now preserves a significant mix of woodlands, native grasslands, and a cultural site. The land was reclaimed by Falkirk Mine. The project is now managed by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And so it's owned by DOT, managed by Game and Fish, and they allow public access for hunting, fishing, and reclamation. The Reclamation Division recommends this nomination be forwarded to OSM's Casper office, as do I. And I just want to add one more feature on this that is my own personal comment. Part of this project made possible a shift from some previous mandate. I don't know who imposed it. It's been there as long as for decades. Part of approval for something was setting up no mow areas along Highway 83, where nobody could mow those ditches so that wildlife could live there. And I tell you, being from Hazen and making many, many trips back and forth to Bismarck through that route, that had to be one of the worst ideas I've ever heard of. I don't know who came up with it. Maybe it seemed good at the time, I'll be generous. But having a wildlife preserve with a four-lane highway running through the middle of it, I used to drive there and just think of all the damaged autos and all the insurance claims, as well as the possibility of human injuries. Well, we used to joke about it. If you were going through New Salem, that was one way. If you're going through Washburn, then you got to go through the killing zone. You know, it's just that was what a lot of people called it, is the killing zone. There were so many carcasses there. Anyway, this eliminates that mandate. It was transferred over. Much better to have wildlife management areas that aren't bisected by a four-lane highway. So this is a phenomenal thing. Kudos to Falkirk for all the work and expense they went through to do this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
So I just wanted to say deer crossing signs don't help.
You would think so, but darn deer, they just won't listen. I move the commission approve bond release number 6 for surface coal mining permit NAFK-9601 held by Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 394.2 acres of land located in portions of sections 30 and 31, Township 146 North, Range 81 West, McLean County. The amount of the bond release is $353,998.73, effective June 18, 2025, unless a formal hearing is requested in Falkirk Mining Company. Bond release, permit NAFK-9601, application case number RC-24-346.
Second.
So these two tracts contain about 277 acres of land that was affected by mining activities, and another 117 acres of land that was never disturbed. The coal removal occurred from 96 to 2003. The backfilling, grading, SPGM spread, respread, and initial seeding were completed in 2007. The reclaimed areas were soil probed to verify topsoil and subsoil respread thickness. All the reclaimed land in the bond release application is being managed with annually seeded crops. Portions have been cropped since 2006, but all the cropland has been continuously cropped since 2016. And of this portion, 273 are the cropland. There are no prime farmland standards involved here because none of this land was considered prime farmland before mining. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on November 26th of last year. Participants at the inspection included our staff, Falkirk Mining staff, and staff from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Multiple other local, state, and federal officials were invited to participate in the inspection but declined the offer. The McLean County Superintendent of Highways indicated that the reclaimed section line that's in this area was reconstructed to a township road standard, so that provides public travel and agricultural use. The public notice for the bond release was in the official county newspaper, which is in the McLean County Independent, for four consecutive weeks. There were no objections or concerns received. So Falkirk Mining, as I mentioned, is requesting a reduction in their bond of about $354,000. That will leave almost $2.5 million remaining to cover liabilities for the remaining acreage in this permit area. If approved, the bond release will become effective June 18th unless a formal hearing is requested. So this really takes effect at that date. I will say that the amount per, if you just figured on a, everything's the same in a per acre bond release, what's being released is a lot less per acre on what's getting released than what we will continue to hold on the remaining acreage. So I feel pretty safe in that bond release. The Reclamation Division recommends approval of this bond release, as do I.
Did we have a second on that?
Jill.
Yes, we did. Never mind. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission adopt the order in Teleport Communications America, LLC, Bismarck Rate Center, numbering resources, case number PU-25-174.
Second.
So Teleport Communications America is located in Bedminster, New Jersey, and they submitted this request to the North American Numbering Plan Administrator, which I will refer to as NANPA, for three consecutive 1,000-number blocks. And specifically, they were requesting 701-994-6000 through 8,999. I am very impressed and pleased that NANPA denied Teleport's request. And I appreciate that because we've been working hard for a number of years to not recklessly dole out these numbers and preserve the 701 area code in North Dakota. And so here I am making a motion to approve a 3,000-number block and saying how good it is that they denied it. I'll tell the rest of the story in a minute, but first I want to emphasize what we've done in recent years. And I didn't go back and find the statistics, But a few years ago, our area code was projected to have run out by now, I'm sure. It was only a couple years out. And we recognized that. And I went to the band association's annual meeting and requested help where they could help in maybe turning some numbers back. And a couple of companies have been very helpful, not all of them, but I certainly am grateful for the help that we've gotten. And just kudos to our public utilities staff, and especially Jerry Schmaltz. She kind of rolled up her sleeves on this and became the lead person on these numbering requests. And I forget the last report I have on it from NANPA, but we're out at looking at 2033 or in the 2030s at some point for exhaustion of the area code. It's just a continual battle because these telemarketers and stuff, they want a batch of numbers and they use them for a while. And then when people start to recognize that it's telemarketers, they want a new batch, you know, and it's challenging. And we've made so much progress though, that I'm just so proud of that and really commend our staff. And like I said, specifically Jerry Schmaltz has just done phenomenal work. But so NANPA denied this, but under FCC rules, state commissions can grant a waiver of the FCC rules and grant the request when there is demonstrable, verifiable need. And one of the things may take into consideration is a verifiable need due to a specific customer request. In support of this request, Teleport provided a copy of the request that they had gotten, and it's from the North Dakota National Guard. And to me, that's a lot different. So based on that request and the source of it, I believe it's appropriate to grant their request and thus the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Haugen Hoffert.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company 2025 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Rates, case number PU-24-390.
Second.
Thank you. On December 31st, 2024, Otter Tail filed a request for approval for its 2025 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Rider Adjustment Factor. On January 22nd of 2025, the Commission issued a Notice of Opportunity for Hearing that provided until March 3rd for receiving any written comments or hearing requests. No requests were received. On February 14th, 2025, Otter Tail did file a supplemental proposal in response to our general rate case order. Otter Tail also included adjustments for the difference between the Langdon Project 35-year life depreciation that was approved as part of the general rate case and the 18-year life that was intended as well as a property tax related to these assets. On April 22nd, we did have an informal hearing with Otter Tail to explain the reasons for the addition of these adjustments. After that, on our informal discussion in weeding through what the rate case was and what they were requesting in the renewable rider, on May 9th, we received another additional supplemental rate filing with them. So Otter Tail proposes a renewable rider credit of $3.79 million and a rate of negative 2.95 over the short period of this year, starting June 1st, 2025 to March 31st, 2026 is our recovery period. As a result of this change, a residential customer consuming 1,000 kilowatt per month will have a monthly credit of $2.88, which is a $5.27 decrease from the previous rate. And a lot of this has to do with all their wind farms and the PTC credits that are coming in with their repowering. So based upon the extensive work by the staff, thank you, Chris, for a lot of the work done here, and working with Otter Tail and weeding out what was approved in our general rate case with Otter Tail and what's allowable in this rider. After all this work, I do support this credit.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That approves.
Commissioner Greenstead.
Thank you. I move the commission issue the notice of hearing in Badger Wind LLC Amendment Badger Wind Project Logan and McIntosh Siting Application, case number PU-24-87.
Second.
On April 16th, 2025, Badger Wind LLC filed a request for waiver of requirement to install a light mitigating technology system for 9 of the 92 turbines anticipated to be constructed on the Badger Wind project. The Federal Aviation Administration did not approve the use of an aircraft detection lighting system or ADLS system on these 9 turbines and is requiring that standard synchronized red lights be utilized. The issue to be considered in this proceeding is whether a waiver of requirement should be granted based on technical or economic feasibility. So a hearing is scheduled for Tuesday, July 1st, 2025 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time right here in the Commission Hearing Room, which is located on the 12th floor of the State Capitol.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission approve, upon receipt of written waivers, the tree and shrub mitigation plan in Oliver Wind 4 LLC, 200 megawatt Oliver Wind 4 Energy Center, Oliver County, siting application, case number PU-23-317, and Oliver Wind 4 LLC 345 kV transmission line, Oliver and Mercer Counties, siting application case number PU-23-318.
Second.
So on April 29th, 2024, the Commission issued findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, granting a site permit for Oliver Wind 4 Wind Project and the Oliver Wind 4 345 kV transmission line. Part of that permit included tree and shrub mitigation specifications for both the wind project and the transmission line. These specifications include that landowners must be given the option to have trees and shrubs that are removed from their property replaced on their property. The landowner may waive this option, but if they do waive it, the option must be waived in writing. That the company shall develop a tree and shrub mitigation plan in consultation with landowners who are seeking replacement trees and shrubs, and in accordance with the United States Department of Agriculture, Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, Field Office Technical Guide. And the purpose of the company's tree and shrub mitigation plan is to create sustainable plantings appropriate for the local soil and growing conditions that will provide long-term benefits to landowners, farmers and ranchers, the community, wildlife, and the environment. So Oliver Wind 4 filed its tree and shrub mitigation plan on April 28th, 2025, along with supplemental filings on May 2nd and May 14th. As indicated in those filings, Oliver Wind 4 began performing initial work on the tree and shrub plan in February 2025, including reviewing the NRCS Field Office Technical Guide, had a meeting with the Oliver County Soil Conservation District, and had several meetings with the Oliver County NRCS that included modifications to the tree and shrub list based on agency recommendations. Landowners were contacted at the end of March 2025, and based on feedback, additional tree species types were added. Landowners that opted in to have trees and shrubs replanted were able to choose the quantity and species to be planted on their property. And once landowners made planting selections, a specific planting plan was developed for each landowner, ensuring that landowners had final say regarding the location and spacing of the plants and rows. So having reviewed the proposed tree and shrub mitigation plan and supplemental filings, I believe this plan meets the proposed outline, the outline in the tree and shrub mitigation specifications, and recommend approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Do they have all the waivers at this time? Easy for me to say.
Not yet. That's why the motion says that upon receipt of written waivers. And that would be consistent with how we handle other aspects of the siting process, which is we grant our approval conditional on getting all the permits and written waivers.
So we're not going to do a final approval until we have them all.
Well, that's what the motion is that it's approved upon receipt of the written waivers.
And is there a timeline on the written waivers? I mean, this is new. First time it's coming before us as a commissioner to uphold it. So I'm just wondering if it's approved upon, but do they have a timeline to submit a plan on if a farmer says, I don't want them, and they go somewhere else? I mean, is there a timeline?
Not that we've specified in here. I do know that based on the supplemental filings, it sounds like they have verbal approval. They're just waiting for the final paperwork.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think it would leave us in a very powerful position because I don't have a note of what exactly it said that gave me this impression that they have started a bunch of plantings or are very soon. And so if time goes on and they've planted their, what is it, like 11 or 12,000 trees, and we determine that, well, we're missing one waiver here, and so that's not acceptable, we could still, I suppose, start to force them to start over again or something. So I think we're in a pretty good position to monitor if they don't get those waivers.
Well, it's the reason why I'm inquiring, and now is the great planting season. So if it comes into the fall, they're not going to plant
right
at that time. So then it's just longer monitoring of staff and all that. So I was just wondering more for a good review of this on how we're going to monitor it. And I know the staff has done a tremendous job on this so far. So
I wanted to add one more comment, and it kind of plays along with that, because that was something that bothered me, that they didn't have the written waivers. And it doesn't surprise me, because they started contacting landowners on March 27th. People were in the field seeding and fertilizing. Ranchers were calving. What time of that year is that to start planning your tree planting process? For a number of years, I've planted trees from the NRCS almost every year. And actually, they arrived last week. And so I even asked on the phone whether I'm remembering correctly. They'll, waive it by a few weeks, but they try and get all the orders in by December 31st so they can work with the nurseries to make sure that what is being ordered will be available. By December 31st, NextEra waits until the end of March to start contacting anyone. One of the busiest times of year for those producers. As I look through this, a large percentage of these trees are going on property owned by people who are not actively farming and ranching in the area. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's their land, I'm sure, and they're as entitled as the people who are living out there making their living. However, it leaves me wondering how many of the people who actually live out there and make their living declined because they just didn't have time to deal with this then, or because of the limited availability when they started negotiating with them before they added more species to the option list, that just turned it down, and so now they're going somewhere else. So what can I do about it? Well, I'm not saying that I could kill this myself. I would have to be persuasive enough of another commissioner. But let's say we denied it because it's just, to me, terrible business practice to be starting this contacts with the landowners the end of March. But we'd be punishing the landowners, not the company, because all we're going to do then is either set back the planting date to the middle of the summer when people have had another chance to review it, in which case it's not as an opportune time for planting as it would be now, or make them wait a whole nother year, which in tree life, I always remember the guy I admire, Dan Cashman, when he used to say, I don't know if
he's got it
precisely, I think he used to always say, the best time to plant trees is 5 years ago, the next best time is now. And so I don't want to punish the landowners for the shoddy practices of NextEra in this tree planting, tree and shrub mitigation process. So I'm going to vote for this. I hope the message rings home to our companies that site things in North Dakota that do tree and shrub mitigation. These discussions with the landowners need to start way before the middle of March. It should have been started in 2024 already. Because, even though they didn't have their last final exact count of how many trees they had removed, but they knew within hundreds. And so they could have been started on these discussions way earlier.
Yep, Randy, and I understand your concerns. I recognize that this plan may not be perfect. I don't think any plan necessarily is, but I also believe that this plan, as it's put forward, it meets the requirements of the commission's order, the purpose, and it does provide a viable path forward. So,
yep. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. A couple of announcements before we take a break for questions from the press. As I mentioned at the beginning, what was on our calendar, our regular meeting scheduled for this coming Wednesday, the 21st, has been canceled. Our next regular commission meeting is on Wednesday, June 4th at 10 o'clock. But I want to highlight that it doesn't go unnoticed. We also have a special commission meeting this Friday at 9 a.m. And what that is, so it doesn't seem like such a mystery, there's, if my memory is accurate, I think a couple of quarters of land up on the edge of a permit area in the Falkirk mine that they now have their lease and mine plan approvals are from the feds. And they would like to incorporate that into their current mine plan. And the time for public comment on that, I think, expires tomorrow. Anyway, so if we can't do it today because there's still time for comment, but if, assuming that there are none received, by having a special meeting, we don't make them have to wait for 2.5 weeks. And so thus the special meeting on Friday. That concludes the announcement. We'll stand in recess for questions from the press.
First to clear.